merciful, gracious, righteous, holy, everlasting God in heaven. Today we come, my God, and even now we acknowledge that being here is another demonstration of your grace and mercy. We acknowledge, my God, that the ability to be able to come out was not dependent so much on our wisdom and our smartness, but purely on your grace and mercy and purpose. And as we come, my God, we seek at this time your intervention, that you will, through Jesus Christ, be with us. You will, as we look to your word for guidance and direction and for help and enlightenment and encouragement, that you will guide our understanding, our receptiveness, and our respect for your word. My God, help us to learn. Help us to retain truth from which we can benefit and which we may use and ought to use to be of help to others. My God, we give you thanks for your many blessings through Jesus the Christ. And even now we beg, my God, that you be with each one of us. I beg through Jesus Christ for your strength as I attempt to share this lesson. For physical and spiritual strength, my God. I beg through Jesus the Christ for understanding of your truth, so that I will represent you, my God, correctly in all the things that I will say relative to this lesson. I beg through Jesus the Christ for your forgiveness. I beg, my God, through him for clarity of speech, so that I will make the lesson plain and simple, so that everyone wanting to will understand. My God, guide me to speak as your oracle, so that at the end you will be pleased, be honored, be glorified, and we will be helped, be enlightened, be challenged, and be encouraged. May you, my God, direct your words to the hearts of every one of us, but especially those who have not yet known or made commitment to Jesus Christ. Guide us that something will be said today so that they may see reason to do so. I pray through Jesus the Christ. Amen. Okay. Can this remain or turn it off? Let it remain. Okay. We continue from the passage of Judges chapter 17, verse 1 through verse 13. Today
This being the third
lesson from this passage. The emphasis today will be on the priesthood. And that is, we want to look on one of the main characters in the lesson, Micah, and from his activities, get a better understanding how at least not to relate to God, or rather how you cannot relate to God that way. But I feel it is important for emphasis to bring to your attention as a reminder some of the things that have been touched on or said in the previous lesson. We pointed out that in this passage of Judges 17, when you look at the passage, for those who have some acquaintance with the Bible, in this passage you see idol worshipping, idolatry. In this passage you see will worship, spoken about in the book of Colossians as one of the worship that is not acceptable to God. In this passage, you see vain worship spoken about in the book of Matthew chapter 15. One of the worship that is not acceptable to God. In this passage, you see convenient religion. Religion which when practiced is not acceptable to God. In this passage, we see where a person can do some right in one particular area. But if you strive to have your own way in another area, you are just as condemned in God's sight. In the passage, we see a whole heap of, we see enough religious confusion and ignorance. Micah and his mother, like so many today, felt that if they got things right in one or two areas, they were free to have their own way in other areas and do as they like. But this is not so, because we are told in the book of James chapter 2 and verse 10. Let us hear that passage. James chapter 2 verse 10.
For whosoever shall keep the whole law
and
yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all.
Read that again.
For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all.
Ladies and gentlemen, with Micah, the main character in the text, is not that he kept the old law and guilty in one. It was sort of the opposite. But this passage is an enlightenment to us. We cannot feel comfortable if we pinpoint one or two areas or three areas or four areas where we feel we are doing just right spiritually, religiously, morally. Yet in another area, we feel we should have our own way. We stand condemned and guilty in God's sight. In the previous lesson, I emphasized, well, the Bible emphasized in different ways, that man cannot deal with God. Man cannot approach God. Man cannot relate to God without a God-approved, God-sanctioned priest or mediator. Why is this so important, Brother Mitchell? In fact, if the three lessons were spent just on that one point, and that all of you or some of you got it, the lessons would have served its purpose. Why is it important that we understand that man cannot relate to God, have dealing with God, have fellowship with God without a God approved, a God sanctioned mediator or priest? Why is that important? Because the whole point in that is that the question ought to be asked, why is that so? And it is because of sin. Ladies and gentlemen, until man faces sin, you are a problem with God. We must face our sin. I have a lesson, Christ condemned before he converts. And then somebody going to run to the passage where Christ says, I condemn no man. When he came, he did not come for condemnation. He came for salvation. But in that salvation, Jesus Christ can save nobody unless that person acknowledges that because of his or her sin, he needs a savior. So the business about a mediator or priest is to help man understand that because of his sinful self, he cannot deal with God or approach God. And we need to get this over to the unbelievers we are trying to teach. Prayer is hindered by sin. Micah and his mother chose a merely human priest based on Micah's own standard, based on Micah's own feeling, and based on Micah's own approval, not God's approval. A priest must meet God's approval and must be appointed by God. Look at the passage. That is Judges chapter 17. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 5.
And the man Micah had an house of gods, and made an ephod and teraphim,
mm-hmm.
and consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest.
May I? Micah and all costs must have a priest at all costs. Wait, somewhere along the way, being a Jew, and we need to get this. Somewhere along the way, being a Jew, Micah realized you need a priest. I need one. But as this lesson is going to show, you don't need just a priest. That's what today's lesson is about. We soon get to that. But Micah was so convinced of this truth. And we do need a priest. But you don't stop with just a priest. So he recognized this truth. You know what he did? The most convenient person then was one of his sons. Micah was not considerate that the priest must meet God's approval. Read, brother. That was verse 5. Well, step down to verse 9 and 10.
And Micah said unto him, Whence comest thou?
Wait, here now. You have, in verse 5, he appointed one of his sons as priest. Not long after that, there was a Jew, probably on his pilgrimage, traveling, trying to find somewhere where he could settle down. Micah met him. Let us hear it.
And Micah said unto him,
mm-hmm.
Whence comest thou?
Where are you coming from? Who are you? And what are you about?
And he said unto him,
he said unto Micah,
I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah.
That is, I'm a Levite who live in Bethlehem of Judah.
And I go to sojourn.
I am a sojourner.
Where I may find a place.
I am looking for a place to settle down.
And Micah said unto him.
And Micah said unto him.
Dwell with me.
Dwell with me.
And be unto me a father and a priest.
Wait, he's still looking for a priest. You know, that's not bad. Brothers and sisters, you know the point here? You know, the relevance and the application to us today. Because we must always consider that in any lesson, any sermon. And that is a person who realizes that he needs to turn to God, you know. A man or woman who arrive at the thinking that, you know, I need to live close to God. I need to find myself in a church. But he doesn't realize you don't just need to find yourself in a church. You need to find yourself in the right church. In the same way, you do not just need a savior. You need the right savior. Micah needed more than a priest. He needed the right priest who meet God's approval. So he appointed his son, one of his sons, but it seems his eyes were still searching. So he said to this Levite passing, be to me a father and a priest. Wait. Before we even go further, remember, God did not fix it that every Levite be a priest. You need to get that. What is that about, Brother Mitchell? Because the priests were chosen from the tribe of Levi. That's the tribe from whom or from which the priest should be chosen. But not every Levite met God's standard. So that this man met a Levite doesn't mean that that Levite was qualified and meet God's approval. But Micah, like men and women today who feel the emptiness inside for Jesus Christ and would settle up everything, Micah felt that, well, this man meet the approval. He's a Levite. Micah, that alone does not do the job. Read on, brother.
Dwell with me and be unto me a father and a priest.
Uh-huh.
And I will give thee 10 shekels of silver by the year.
I will give you 10 shekels of silver per year.
And a suit of apparel.
And a suit of clothing.
And thy victuals.
And what you need to eat.
So the Levite went in.
Of course I would go into, brother. That's right. You're getting that hefty salary. But you know what is striking here, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters? This was at Micah's expense or cost. In other words, this man was so committed to God. We need to get this in this area. That he was willing to stand the cost of having what he thought was a mediator between him and God. He had somewhere along the way been taught that you need a priest or a mediator. And he would spare no in make it so attractive for the man that the man decided to take the job. Of course, that man was a wanderer. May I, as I said, choosing the two priests he chose was based on Micah's feeling, Micah's approval, Micah's standard, with God's standard ignored completely. It is the same today with many men looking to form a relationship with the Almighty God. This man was like Roman Catholicism today. And when I mean today, I mean throughout their history. Roman Catholicism got mixed up. Watch here now. Old Testament priesthood. Heathen practices. And little New Testament. I mean, you talk about mixed up, and I'm talking about Roman Catholicism priesthood. This man represents that type of mixed up. The type of priest sinful humanity need today and always is spelled out in the book of Hebrews chapter 7. The type of priesthood that is sanctioned and approved by the Almighty God. Not just any priest. Listen, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11 and 12 and 25 through 28. Let us hear it.
Verse
11 and 12.
If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest priest should arise after the order of
the president. We don't want to just pass time, say we come to worship. So I take step to always try to explain to make sure we understand what is being said. Because we are studying God's word for our enlightenment and direction. The passage here in the book of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11, the brothers just read. For if perfection,
if perfection
was by the Levitical priesthood. Brother Webb, ladies and gentlemen, perfection is God's goal and objective for us. You get it? The Almighty God wants you and me, and every man who would come to Jesus Christ to reach the point of perfection. That's why in our Christian journey we are to be making progress every day. Christ-like progress. We are to be growing in Christ. Perfection is God's goal and objective for us. The Bible is telling us here, because remember the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish Christians in Judea and surrounding areas. And many of them didn't understand the difference between the Old and New Testament. What the writer is showing them is that the Old Testament system was not adequate to meet man's need. In other words, it still left man with man's sin. The Old Testament system. For if perfection was by the Levitical priesthood, there should be no need for another.
What further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek?
That is talking about Jesus Christ. In other words, if the Aaronic priesthood had met man's need, you would not have any need for a Melchizedek priesthood. Watch here now.
And not be called after the order of Aaron.
Uh-huh.
For the priesthood being changed.
Watch here now. This is a very important piece of truth here. For the priesthood being changed, what does that mean, Brother Mitchell? That is the Old Testament priesthood. That was changed. And I pointed out a while ago that Roman Catholicism adopts a lot from the Old Testament priesthood. Every time you hear about holy water, of course, that water is not holy. In fact, if anything, it is unholy. Because it gives man the wrong idea. It misrepresents God. It misleads men and women. So if any water is unholy, that's the one that the man-made priest sprinkle on you. But all of that is coming from Old Testament. Now hear God's word telling us that changed long ago. That's why Jesus Christ came to put away that system and inaugurate the Melchizedek family of priesthood. For the priesthood being changed,
there is made of necessity a change also of the law.
Well, you know, I need to make sure you understand that too, in case you didn't. I know a lot of you understand it. What that is saying. That, watch, you know. The Old Testament priesthood was the foundation of the entire Old Testament system. Watch here. That the entire the Ten Commandments system, the ceremonial system, the moral system of the Old Testament rests and the priesthood.
That system was there to support the priesthood. But the priesthood was the important part. Seventh-day Adventists would brush this one aside and tell you this is ceremonial. No, the priesthood point to Jesus Christ and man's salvation. The animal blood and all the sacrifice represented by the priesthood, it was bound up in Jesus Christ. That's why it was so important. And everything else rested on it. And what the inspired writer in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11, 12, that the brother is reading here is telling you that if this has been removed, the rest of the system has to be removed too. Because the rest of the system was built on this. This is the foundation. Once the priest would change, the entire system has to change. This passage is teaching that the fundamental of that Old Testament system, Ten Commandments, Sabbath, whatever, was the priesthood. That is the important factor. For the priesthood being changed, there is made a necessity, a change also of the law.
Yeah.
Huh?
That's right. Amen.
Now that was verse 11 and 12. Step down now to verse 25. Wait, what are we at this passage for? We are looking on the type of priest that humanity in his sinful state need. We are saying that Micah had a wrong understanding and had superstitious belief surrounding the priesthood. And we are saying Roman Catholicism priesthood today is no less full of falsehood, sinful practices, misleading, misrepresentation of God. Let us hear some more of the priesthood that we need.
Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost.
That is now the priest we now have. He's able to save us. When it says to the utmost, it means Jesus Christ is able to save us completely. When Christ finished saving you, nothing is left wanting.
That's right. Amen.
If you give him the chance.
Amen.
He's able to save us to the utmost. Read on.
That come unto God by him.
If you come to God by Jesus Christ is able. The Old Testament priest and priesthood was not able to do that. Read on.
Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
Wait, you get the point there? The Old Testament priest has a servant living while they're dead. Not this priest. He lives ever. The ever liveth is always alive. To save, to sanctify. Read on.
For such an high priest became us.
Wait. You know, I'd thrown out that statement last week or the previous week, and said, study it. And I'm sure many of you have. I wish the King James had done a better job. You know, for such an high priest became us. Wait. We are priests, but we are not high priests.
Well, we're not.
Mr. Mitchell, what do you mean? Every true child of God who become a Christian according to the gospel is a priest. Brother Mitchell, you mean that in the Old Testament, it was the Levite, male from a certain age up? Well, no. The Almighty God doesn't make that type of distinction under grace. Male and female. Huh?
Yeah.
Are priests. You know why? The job that the priest usually perform under the Old Testament system. When you become a child of God today, man or woman, you are able to perform that job.
Yeah. Amen.
You are able to go to God in prayer. No one need go for you. You have access to the throne of grace. Huh? But here the Bible now is talking about an high priest. Such an high priest became what? Us.
Became us.
But we are not high priests. So that statement, it's not that it is false. It is worded awkwardly to give you a wrong impression. What that statement really means, such an high priest we need. We need an high priest like this one that I'm talking about. That's what that means. Such an high priest became us, really. Such an high priest we need. Read on.
Who is holy.
Wait. This is laying down the qualification. The high priest that man, sinful condition need, must be.
Holy. Harmless.
He must be harmless.
Undefiled.
He must be undefiled.
Separate from sinners.
Wait, that's another confusing statement. Remember, I'm just listing the qualification in preparing this lesson. One whole lesson had to do with the qualification of the priesthood. But we are not going to be dealing with any detail today. And that lesson dealing with the qualification of the priesthood who meets man's need, spiritual need, that lesson will come probably in another many weeks or months or years, I don't know. But not in this series. One whole lesson on the qualification. But it's important that we understand that the priest that is qualified to meet our sinful need must meet God's qualification. He must be holy.
Harmless. Undefiled. Separate from sinners.
Brother Mitchell, was Jesus Christ separated from sinners? Didn't he mingle with sinners? In fact, wasn't he accused of being friend of sinners? Yes, you are right. Then how the Bible said he separated from sinners? That's why we are not going in detail. So when we go in detail with the qualification of the priest, months or weeks from now, you can ask that question. What verse is that, brother?
Still in 26, and made higher than the heavens.
Wait. Y'all hear that? No man has ever reached that qualification. No human being. Merely human being. The only person who has is Jesus Christ. He must be made higher than the heavens. What a qualification. Read on a little more now.
Who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice.
You hear that? This priest who is qualified to meet our sin need does not have to offer sacrifice daily. That's part of the qualification, you know. This priest is so adequate and complete. Read on, brother.
First, for his own sin.
He does not have to offer sacrifice for his sin. Christ does not have to. Read.
And then for the people's.
Read.
For this he did once.
Oh my God. Jesus Christ offered himself once. Wait. The Old Testament Levitical priest had to daily. Wait. No. When the Levitical subordinate priest went into the holy place, it was a representative thing. They went in both for themselves and for the entire nation of Israel. And the high priest entered the holy place, the Holy of Holies, once a year. And the Bible says, not without blood. Read, brother.
For this he did once when he offered up himself.
Jesus Christ doesn't have to offer sacrifice. In Roman Catholicism, they said the sacrament, the Eucharist, in it Jesus Christ is offered again. That's right. That Christ is offered afresh every time the Roman Catholic. He said, my God, what foolishness. What misrepresentation of what Christ has done at Calvary. Christ offered himself once, and that sacrifice was adequate to deal with all the sins of the world. That's the type of priest that man needs. Read.
For the law maketh men high priests, which have infirmity.
The high priests of the law, they have imperfection. Read.
But the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son, who is created forevermore.
Jesus Christ is consecrated, and he does need yearly consecration. Is consecrated forevermore. May I? Micah had much in common with the religious men and women of today. He is false, he is ignorant, his superstitious ideas of the priesthood made him ignore completely God's directive and God's standard, as we have seen when he went and appointed his own son as a priest, and then saw another man traveling through and appointed him priest. And notice that, ladies and gentlemen, we are not excused by our sincerity. When we are wrong, when we are off the divine track, it matters not how sincere we are. Because notice, this man, from his own pocket, he was willing to pay this Levite to be his priest, recognizing the need for this mediator. So are men today. Men and women will become so sold on something religious but false that they will sacrifice everything. But that sacrifice doesn't change the falseness of the thing. Total and complete departure from God's standard, God's regulation of worship, and the priesthood. Micah simply wanted a priest, any priest. And you know what I find strange? Well, it shouldn't be strange. It's not. Because the man was sincere, but again, our sincerity does not remove our ignorance and the consequences of our ignorance. You know what? The man expects great blessing from God. He was practicing idolatry. But because he had one or two things right, he felt that God will bless him. Is it in verse 13? He talked like God surely going to bless him. Read.
For he shall have judgment with the... Wrong passage.
I think it's verse 13 I want. Where Micah spoke confidently of God's blessing.
Then said Micah. Now know I that the Lord will do
good.
Wait.
Now I know. That
the Lord will do me good.
That God will do me good.
Seeing I have a Levite to my priest.
Oh Lord, have mercy. Men and women today get it wrong. Let me join a church.
Let me do this or that. Brothers and sisters, spend a little time to find out how God wants it done. And even members of the large church, in so many cases, we are too busy to spend a little time with God's word. Hear the man speaking confidently that he know that God will do him good. You know why? He had a Levite to be priest. But of course, if he didn't run into the Levite by accident, he would appoint. Well, he had appointed his son, who was not a Levite. And the idea that is that God, I can't give you what you ask for, so I'll give you what I have. Cain reasoned like that. It took only a little effort for Cain to have had what God asked for. May I? Somebody asks again, what is the relevance and application of the lesson to us and to our time? As I said, we notice in verse 5 and verse 7 through 11 that for Micah, any priest would do. May I? Without much consideration for God's standard specification, this is the prevailing attitude of men and women, religious men and women today. Give God anything, just be sincere, and you will be okay. You are not okay if it does not meet God's specification. The person thinks, if I like it and feel that it is good for God, what God got to do with it? That's the way men reason, you know. You're telling them, no, you have to do it this way. It cannot be done this way. Well, I am sincere, and it's like a person saying, what God got to do with it if I'm sincere? He got everything to do with it. And that's Micah's problem, as sincere as he was. And men and women today, you know, as if to be asking what God got to do with it, you know. Hence we have any church should do, any worship should do, any baptism should do, any name, any religious name, I feel to wear, it should do. Any religious teaching should do, because I'm sincere. May I? I have another 5 or 10 minutes to close this lesson, and I want to spend it on this point. The Almighty God has never accepted or be pleased with the any of anything. Brother Mitchell, I like how that sound. Repeat it. It's not just how it sounds. It's a lot of truth in that. The Almighty God has never accepted or approve the mere any of anything. God is not interested with giving him just any. Can I quickly just run down a few things here? Cain's worship, Abel's worship, met divine specification and divine approval. Just in what he failed to give. Abel made sure that he didn't give just anything. But that which God specifies, that changes everything. That's why we are told in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 4 that by faith, Abel offered unto God a what? A more excellent sacrifice. You know why it was more excellent? He gave God God's specification. And we need to learn. Not only that, for Noah, it was not simply any ark. Are we all there? How do you know, Brother Mitchell? Because the timber was specified by God. The size of the ark was specified by God. How many doors and windows? You know, many times I ask, couldn't God have left that up to Noah? Truly. And when I read that the ark had one door. Human being and the animal must go through the same door? You mean the tall giraffe must go through the same door that man go through? God, if you had left it up to Noah, he would make it more. One door for human being and one door for animal. No. God says, a one door I want in it. And one door it had. If it had more than one door, there's no doubt it would not survive the flood. What is the point? It was not just any ark. It met God's specification. Are we all there? We don't have time because, you know, I'm tempted, but I'm going to resist it for us to go to the book of Genesis chapter 6, but we will not. Where the Almighty God spelled out the specification. My God, simple thing like that, building a boat, leave it up to the man now. I have a sermon, if it had been left up to me, I would pile up a lot of things. You know, I would build it nice to my desire, and many people would like it. But I would spoil it up in God's sight. You see, the Almighty God has never accepted the any of anything. Not only Noah. Have you noticed that our very life in becoming a Christian, Jesus Christ is not interested with any and any life and conduct? Are we all there? That when we accept Jesus Christ as Lord, He called upon us that our thinking be changed, transformed. Our thoughts, our words, our conduct be changed. What is the point? To be a child of God means it's not just any and any life and any conduct. Are we all there? Look at Ephesians chapter 2, 1 through 3. Romans chapter 12 verse 1. What I'm saying, brothers and sisters, the Almighty God has never accepted just the any of anything. Let us hear Ephesians chapter 2 verse 1 through 3.
And you hath He quickened.
You hath He made alive.
Who were dead in trespasses and sin.
When we are in sin, we are dead. Spiritually dead. Somebody didn't get that. When we live in sin, we are spiritually dead. Read, brother.
You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world.
This is before they became Christian. They live the worldly and godly sinful life. That was time past before they became a Christian. What is the point? The Almighty God is not interested just in the any of anything. Read on.
According to the prince of the power of the air.
We live by the dictates of Satan before we became a Christian. Read on.
The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Read on.
Among whom also we all had our conversation.
The word conversation means manner of life. That is, our manner of life was typical the life of the ungodly.
In time past.
In time past.
In the lust of our flesh.
The lust of the flesh.
Fulfilling the desires of the flesh.
Doing what we want.
And of the mind.
And of the mind.
And where and were by nature the
by
children
nature
of wrath.
By nature the children of?
Of wrath.
Of wrath. That is the wrath of God. That is before we became a Christian. What verse is that?
That was the end of 3.
Yes. Step down to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. What is the point? Even our life when we became Christian cannot be just any and any life. Are we all there? Any and any conduct, any and any thinking, any and any attitude. There must be some change or transformation. Read on.
I beseech you, therefore, brethren.
I beg you, therefore, brethren.
By the miracles of God, that you present your bodies a
living sacrifice.
Holy.
It must be holy.
Acceptable to God.
It must be acceptable to God.
Which is a reasonable service.
This is our reasonable service. Then he went on to tell them that they must not be conformed to this world. In other words, don't fashion your life according to the world. Don't take the example from the world, but be you transformed. We cannot live carrying our conduct according to the world. Not only that, and we'll have to come down to the end now of the lesson. Oh Lord of mercy. The tabernacle was a tent-like building structure. In fact, let us run to the book of Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. It's an appropriate passage to end the lesson with.
Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount.
Brothers and sisters, one of the central point in today's lesson is this man, Micah, sincere, but he did not follow God's pattern for the priesthood. And here we have a passage that we are hoping to end with in a few minutes. Brother Webb, read the passage again, verse 5 again. You have read it properly. Read it again, just for emphasis.
Who serve unto the example and the shadow of heavenly things.
That is Moses.
As Moses was admonished of God.
When Moses was about to build the tabernacle. Now the tabernacle represents the church. It represents the Christian. It represents heaven. It was a type for those anti-type. In other words, the tabernacle was pointing to the church. The Old Testament tabernacle was pointing to the Christian. The Old Testament tabernacle was pointing to heaven. When Moses was about to build the tabernacle, the Almighty God had to remind Moses of an important principle that this lesson is dealing with. And that the principle is make sure you follow God's specification. Who was admonished of God?
when he was about to make the tabernacle.
What God admonished him saying?
For, mm-hmm. for see, saith he.
That is the Almighty God. See. Uh-huh.
That thou make all
that
things.
That thou make, not some things, brother Wade.
All things.
All things.
According to the pattern showed to thee in the mount.
Are we there? No, here is this little movable tent-like building. Remember, one man was killed because he touched it. He was built like a tent carried by the priest. It was to last only for some time. And the Almighty God said to Moses, see that you make all things according to the pattern that I give you. May I? Let me make sure I get this right, because I'm quoting now from one person. He said, one theologian, in fact, this theologian is a member of the Church of Christ, one of our scholars who has written commentary, and he said, this passage of Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, is one of the most significant statements in the book of Hebrews. See that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you. Here, one of our brothers stating that it is one of the most important and significant statement in the book of Hebrews. Why is this repeated here? Because the writer in Hebrews chapter 8 verse 5 is quoting from Exodus 25:40. That's where the quotation comes from. Why is it as it found its place here? It is here for this purpose. It is reinforcing that worshippers today and that the New Testament system must follow the pattern, the example, the specification that Jesus Christ has given us in the gospel. That's why this passage is repeated here in Hebrews. It is to remind New Testament Christians that in the same way God reminded Moses to follow the pattern given to him, we in the area of the gospel must make sure we follow Jesus' blueprint, Jesus' pattern, Jesus' specification, or else all that we do will be done in vain. All that we do will be done in vain. The passage just read reveal God as a pattern-minded God. As a pattern-minded God. A God who gives pattern and expect that pattern to be followed. Micah, who made his son a priest and pick up another guy and they didn't understand this. Brothers and sisters, as the brother looked for his invitation, the delusion of so many modern day worshippers today is the fallacy, the mistake that there is no divine pattern today. And that it makes no difference what do you do once you are sincere. That is the great delusion and deception and mistake men today are making in religion.
that God does not have any pattern, and that each person is free to do what he or she wants. That's a terrible mistake. Because God has a pattern. And the passage of Hebrews chapter 8 verse 5 is demonstrating that the Almighty God is a pattern-oriented God. If you are here today, Jesus Christ as a pattern to save you. You know what? It was the same pattern that saved men and women in the first century. How it goes? You must hear the gospel of Christ, that Jesus Christ died for your sin. Without the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you would be hopeless, living just for hell. But right now, you have the chance to live not just for hell, but to live for Jesus Christ and be ultimately saved. So that's why you must hear the gospel. You must believe the gospel, and that includes believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, your Lord and Savior. But not only that, you must repent of your sin. That means you must make a resolution now in your mind. And that mind thing must be followed by action, that you are going to turn from your ungodly, worldly way of life and turn to Jesus' way. You are going to turn around and turn to Christ. That's repentance. And you must confess faith in Christ. You're a Christian, then no, you must be baptized. It is in baptism that you get in touch with the blood of Jesus Christ. That's why you must be baptized. You cannot be saved if you are not washed in the blood of Christ. And the book of Romans chapter 6 verse 3 through verse 5 tell us that it is in baptism that you get, you are buried to get under the influence of the blood. Right now, you can follow God's pattern because God is a pattern-minded God. His pattern, his specification must be followed if you are going to stand right in God's sight. Don't make the mistake that this man Micah made, feeling that anything you give to God, it will do once you are sincere. That's a terrible mistake. It doesn't work. The Almighty God never accepts the any of anything. It has to meet God's specification and God's approval. Right now we are going to stand, sing a song. And you're going to step forward recognizing your need to be forgiven. And only Jesus Christ can do that. And he does that when you turn to him. You want to do that today as we stand and sing.